following presentation, Janet's Adventures in 4K, was given by Tim Boundy of Janet at Network Shop 42 in April 2014.
Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the final session. There's nothing worse than being the person in between people and their lunch and the train home. So I will try and make this enjoyable and interesting and enlightening. Let's treat this very much as a family occasion, you know, no formal stuff. I want you to feel very much part of this, and even if you want to interrupt me, as long as we don't go on too long, very happy for that to happen. How did I know that when I joined Janet in 2005, I thought I'd got over all those days of the nervousness before a live outside broadcast. You know, you feel that slight pain under the left nipple as the pressure mounts. And you wonder whether the circuits are up or whether they're up, but they're about to fall over as soon as you go on air. I'm getting far too old for this, really, and yet there's a bit in me that says I love it. And so this morning,
we're going to have to turn your microphone on.
There you go.
Well, that was a good start, wasn't it? Yeah. I used to have people who knew how to do that. Didn't have to do it myself. But at least they told me. But I think this is really exciting, and this is where we should be. There's a lot of people in our sector saying it's very important to take risk and let's make mistakes. We should have the right to make mistakes. But wow, when you make a mistake, don't they all come back down on you and everyone's covering their backsides? So this is where we should be, pushing it at the edges, trying it out. In 2012, as you know, Janet did 8K definition TV, absolutely stunning, as we worked with the BBC and NHK and transmitting across to Japan and to the States. I'm a bit cynical about all this stuff. I've seen most of it. And I remember sitting in Broadcasting House that day when we were watching, it was a recording, but we were watching the opening ceremony. The first thing I noticed is I'm glad I got out of the television directing business, because television directors are out of, there's no job for them in the new world. You lock off on a wide angle and it's just like sitting there in the stadium. 24 channels of sound, unbelievable. But what I found, and this is absolutely true, is in that opening sequence, as I sat there watching it in the theater on the big screen and the sound all around me, there was something happened in the opening ceremony and I went, It was so immersive and so real. And it's interesting how some people thought 3D was the future, and Sky have desperately pushed it to see if they can get some business out of it. They tried pushing it with sport. They thought it might be the answer to golf. But actually, it's a real loser. And probably one of the few things that works in 3D is fiction that's deliberately designed for 3D. That possibly can be a bit stunning. But I still feel some of it's a bit like the old Viewmasters, those of you old enough to remember them, where it's almost like looking at one of those books with flat characters standing up. It really hasn't had that excitement, and there seems to be some psychological research anyway. I was always taught in television that the sound's more important than the vision. And there is some research that shows that if you have really high definition and immersive sound, see, there's nothing changes here, getting the wind up already. But there's a reason for that. It actually is as good as 3D, and your brain does the rest. So it's very exciting. So it's really good to be here this morning. And the first thing that we're going to do is actually we're not going a great distance. We're going across to the other side of the campus, to the stage. But what this is going to be, it's going to be a 4K transmission across the campus. Now, 4K is actually the future. It's the future that we can realize, as opposed to 8K, which is a bit over the horizon. BBC are already doing nearly all their natural history in 4K. Because they can see that's the future. But here, we're going to go across to George, who is there. Can you hear me, George?
Of course. Good morning.
Brilliant. So really, can I hand over to you? And you're going to do a demonstration to us. Now, this is coming across the campus in 4K. We've had to do a special installation, and I really want to thank Sony for their help in doing this and the colleagues here at Leeds. And so this is where the future is for education. Let's try and think how we could use this for education. George, I'm in your hands.
Thank you very much. What we're going to present to you is a 5-minute extract of our performance Narcissus, which is based on the myth of Narcissus. It is produced by Yorgos Olomontos and supported by Stage at Leeds. It's directed by myself, George Rodosthenos, lecturer at the School of Performance and Cultural Industries of the University of Leeds. It features live illustration by Michalis Christodoulou, and the music selected is by Dimitris Pignaris. And the three performers are Thanos Chronis, Andreas Filaktou, and Lauren Jackson. And just very little words about the myth of Narcissus. Narcissus was a hunter who was extremely beautiful, extremely handsome. He was also extremely proud of what he did to those who loved him, and the gods noticed this and attracted him to a pool wherein he saw his own reflection and fell in love with it, without realizing that it was only just an image of himself. Unable to live the beauty of his own reflection, he drowned in it. And that is the focus of our performance. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, George, so much.
Thank you very much.
I know you're very tight for time, but
yeah.
Could you just, that illustrates perfectly the point I was making. No television director getting in the way. We were all able to look at the full frame, different people in this audience choosing where to watch and how to relate the performers.
Yeah.
How do you see this medium can work with you in the university and in education?
I think it's extremely useful because it documents, but also allows you to work internationally with live performance. Already NTLive is working very closely. The National Theatre and its scheme of projecting performances all over the world has been very important, not only for its economic value and its impact, but also for promoting and exporting the work. So I think for us, it's crucial to be able to share this work at that kind of quality with colleagues in other institutions and collaborate and work together.
What benefit do you think this brings to the performers?
I think it's not only the exposure, but it's also the ability to communicate with a much wider audience and just give them the opportunity to really have a dialogue with people which are not in their immediate environment.
How do you think the benefits of being able to use high definition of 4K compare with possibly a few years ago when you could collaborate but it would be of standard definition?
I think it was very difficult because now with the detail and the amount of work that we do using technology, I think it has to be at the best quality that is possible. Of course, being able to work over the internet is not something new, but to have that, the ability to work at that specific detail, I think allows you to go a step further and just refining the craft.
George, thank you very much indeed. I know you've got to go and get a plane, but thank you for taking
thank
the
you
time
very much.
And doing this for us today.
Thank you very much.
I mean, I don't know where you are in this. That to me was quite extraordinary to think where I was. Standard definition, and yet here we sat, each of you understanding a little different thing about your own performance, your own take on that performance, relating the actors how you choose, not how a television director chose to cut here and there. I don't half get annoyed on Strictly Come Dancing, being a former Come Dancing director, where I used to get wrapped over the knuckles if I didn't keep the feet in. And they've got light entertainment directors doing it now who love going big close-ups on the face, pull out, up in the top, zoom around. Actually, all you need is a two-shot and just follow them around. It's actually quite easy. You can do it when you've had a couple of beers. You don't have to cut around. So there are advantages to it. But I think you get my point about that. There's a great ability that we have now with high definition, so we're getting the definition as though you were there, and we're going to see another demonstration of that this morning, of that sort of feel. But actually, we are allowing people to experiment, to learn, to develop, not just with people here in Leeds, but people elsewhere, both in the UK and abroad. And that's what we can do when we've got a network like Janet and the relationships with overseas networks. We can do this sort of work. The challenge, as Rhys and Ed will tell you, is that it's not actually on Janet, and I'm not saying this to be smart-ass, it's actually the problem, as always, and we heard this with our big, heavy data researchers as well, it's at the ends. So one of the challenges, and that's why all you clever people are in this room, is to overcome that challenge. We've been helped by Sonny on this occasion, but we've got to find out how we can make this so our academics can really just come to you and say, I want to do this, I want to share this, because that's the business we're in. And so that they can do this sort of exciting thing. But I hope that inspires you to see one of the opportunities. And this cannot be done without you. It won't just happen. This is beyond what you can buy off the shelf at the moment. That's why it needs people like the Janet community, of which I really think you are a most important part to do this. So let's move on. Bit of a health warning on this one. Just to give you a health warning. Those of you that, again, antiquity, you keep going back to the past. Those of you who remember Your Life in Their Hands, I understand that from the people that produced those shows, is one of the tricks of putting surgery on television is you don't show the whole body and the face, but if you just show where the surgery is, people don't feel ill. If you relate it to the whole body, that's when on television they feel ill. So I don't know, other people may have different thoughts about that. But I remember that was one of the big issues about putting that on television. So Where we're going to go now is we're going to go across to the Czech Republic by the magic of National Research and Education Networks, where I can introduce you Dr. Petr Kala. And I'm not sure who your other colleague is, Petr. Perhaps you would like to introduce them.
Yeah, I'm Petr Holub from Masaryk University from CESNET, Czech Educational and Scientific Network. And this was actually an opportunity for us to show you the first application in medical environments, which we found, which actually, because of its of their own needs, they require 4K video as a part of their everyday routine workflows, operating hearts of patients. So I'd like to introduce Petr Kala, who is head of the Department of Interventional Cardiology at Faculty Hospital in Brno, and hand over to him a presentation where he will discuss how they use, why they use 4K video, and we'll also show you the example of footage in real 4K at the end of the talk.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you, Peter, for your kind introduction. And I would like to welcome you, all of you, to my CAT lab. You can see behind us that it's a really standard working day, but we are now focused maybe more on the specifics for education, because we are very active in educational purposes and some organization of the symposiums. And I would like to start with from the interventional cardiology, and I hope that I will not, you won't have any problems with that I'm not a surgeon, because I'm interventional cardiologist. It's something similar. We treat heart diseases, but in some other way. So we can start with the video. And this will be the highest quality. What can we get from the coronaries? So you can look at the pictures. On the left hand side, you can see the 3D reconstruction of the coronary artery after its treatment with stent implantation. On the right part, you can see the cross sectional pictures. And so this is the top quality. What can we see? How can we assess the coronary arteries, and of course, how to assess the coronary artery disease. And we can continue, because to get such pictures, it was quite a long way. Next, please. So from morphology to coronary physiology, what is the basic is the coronary angiography. And the coronary angiography is the X-ray technique, very simple, relatively very cheap, but it has some advantages and disadvantages. So this is the list of the coronary morphology techniques we use on routine basics. So it's invasive assessment of the coronaries. The basic is coronary angiography, that means the X-ray technique. After that, we have intravascular ultrasound, together with virtual histology, and what you saw before is the optical coherent tomography. Next. We have quite important limitations of the basic coronary angiography, what you can see on the left-hand side, because the coronary artery disease, the plaque burden is normally asymmetric. So we have to use the reference vessel that should be without any disease for making the decision if the patient needs treatment or not. So next. After that, we have the intravascular ultrasound, more precise morphologic picture, but it's quite old technique already. And you can see the angiography without any significant stenosis. That means, next. That means that this is really a limitation for angiography, because we use it on a routine basis for acute coronary syndrome patients. That means for patients with acute heart attack, a life-saving situation. But on the right-hand side, you can see that it's completely different if we look inside the coronary artery. So you can see quite big plaque burden, and the lumen, the black part of the picture, this is the lumen, so it's relatively small. So there are some limitations from the coronary angiography. And we have the intravascular OCT, optical coherent tomography, that is quite well known for, especially in ophthalmology, but we use it also in cardiology. So next. This is the highest resolution we can get now. So something about 2 micrometers. And of course, to send such high quality pictures to my colleagues, to the audience, it requires definitely a very high quality of the transmission. Next, please. So you can see here the cross-sectional pictures from the coronary arteries. On the left side, you can see the, some white or yellow parts that are inside the lumen, and this is the coronary stent. And behind these parts are the shadows. So you can very well see that it's not completely opposed to the vessel wall. Yeah. On the right side, this is the optimal result after coronary intervention. So this means that the patient will be without any problems, not only during short-term follow-up, but also for long-term follow-up. On the other hand, you can see the dissection. So there is the lumen, the black part of the picture. This is the lumen, but you can see also that this is something coming inside the artery, and this is part of the vessel wall. So this is a very dangerous situation for the patient. Yeah. And this is another example what we can see under the optical coherent tomography is the thrombus formation inside the lumen. So in summary, if we are talking about coronary morphology, we have the coronary angiography, something like we call luminography, but it suffers from several limitations. We have the intravascular ultrasound, we have the optical coherent tomography, but there is one very significant but, and this is the anatomy versus function. Because the definition of the coronary artery disease is that the patient has under the angiography, 50% stenosis or more. But you will see that based on the angiography, we found 3 vessel disease. That means all vessels were diseased. And based on the anatomy and the angiography, if you are talking about the function, that means if these stenoses are really making some myocardial ischemia to the patient, some threat for the future, it's very different. So we have to combine the anatomy and so-called functional assessment. So this is the theory of invasive assessment of the function. And maybe it, you are technically much more educated than myself, so it can be quite nice. Because what we are interested in is the flow in the coronary, inside the coronary, into the periphery. And but we can translate the flow into the pressure measurements. And this is this you can see observed here. You can see the red line and the green line, and that means that the red line defines the aortic pressure, so the central pressure without any disease, of course, and the green one means the pressure behind the stenosis inside the coronary artery, and so the ratio some amount of ratio means that we have to treat the patient. And we can treat it by interventional cardiology, by the stent implantation, or we can treat it with cardiac surgery. And this is my final slide, because you can see the coronary angiography, and you can see quite tight stenosis. I hope that you will see it. Quite tight stenosis. But this picture, what you can observe here, represents only 5% of the coronary anatomy. The rest means microcirculation. So this is completely a very complex procedure if you are talking about the coronary or heart diseases. So not only coronary angiography, but also very important, very high definition resolution techniques that we use. And of course,
Well, what I was intrigued here always was why actually do you need a 4K video? Can you tell a little bit more about how those techniques are complementary to each other? Because when you see those angiologists working in their during their operations, they actually work on the patient and watch the quite complex diagrams running or complex imaging methods displayed in front of them on the monitor, and they use them in real time to navigate through the patient to cure the patient. So why do you need all of them at the same time?
That's very good, because of course during the procedure itself, this is maybe not so complex like it was shown already before, but this is more for education because we are now at University Hospital. So we are quite a big center with pre and postgraduate education. And of course, to look only on the coronary angiography at present for me means nearly nothing. So we have to combine these techniques. sorry, my colleague just finished procedure. So we have to combine these techniques because it is the basic is coronary angiography. So I would say some very simple technique, very fast. But
so basically
we have to educate the people mm-hmm. that it's much more complex.
Yeah. So you basically use the angiography to see the blood flow inside. I mean, you basically put the contrast stuff in the vein, and you basically only visualize the flow of the blood inside the vein, but you don't see the disease of the way of the vein itself. But you need to use either the OCT or add the pressure curves.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So we have to combine all this, the whole knowledge. Mm-hmm. So anatomy and function together.
Yeah. Martin, if you can start the 4K video, probably. So now you can see the footage taken from the real operation. Probably Petr can comment on this better than I do.
Well, you are quite educated already, because we have collaborated for
a couple of years.
So. But anyway, you can see three screens at the same time. So this is quite well represents our routine practice. So we have to be focused on the procedure itself. You can see it on the left side. But after that, we have to watch also the X-ray pictures. That means the angiography on the right upper picture. And at the same time, we have to combine it with the ECG, what is here. But we can combine it also with the pressure curves, the fractional flow reserve measurement, the OCT or intravascular ultrasound. So all these pictures we combine in our head. So maybe the next step for you will be our head transmission.
Well, actually, what we were discussing with Petra already was to create some synthesis of the data on more automated basis to help cardiologists to make more efficient, more precise decision during the operations. And during the operation, they have only very limited time to do the decisions, and the decisions have to be done accurately so that the patient is cured and treated in the best way.
Yeah. So what we use, maybe my last comment, what we use in the cath lab during the procedure, it's a 4K monitor.
So, exactly.
And so the high quality is already inside. So we have to transmit the high quality also to the audience or to the mm-hmm. medical students.
Yeah, as I said, this was actually the very first field of medicine which I have met, which uses actually the 4K video for their daily practice. And it's not because we advise them, we push them to use the 4K. It's on their own, based on their own own. So this is probably all from us. If there are any questions, we would be more than happy to answer them.
Doctor, I'm interested in when you were doing this for the first time, were there any challenges in not only being a surgeon or being a doctor, but also being a television cameraman?
Well, this was for me it was the first time because we are very very fast in the GitLab, so maybe Peter could comment on that. So I had to be relatively very slow to watch to be able to watch the technique and the precise.
Well, actually, this was interesting because we were using GoPro camera head mounted to Peter's head, and we were afraid because it doesn't have any stabilization inside. So we were curious what would be happening. And the thing was that after Peter got concentrated, focused on the procedure itself, it was fast, but the image was quite perfect. Actually,
yeah, it was excellent. Yeah.
I was impressed because the head has to be stable. It's much much better than when you use the same camera in biking videos or similar stuff of action sports or action activities. So yeah.
From the legal point of view, did you have to make the patients aware that you were doing this and get them to sign something?
Yes, of course. It's really basic because we organize quite a lot of transmissions. On the national and international level, so all the patients have to confirm, will have to agree, and of course to make the signature.
And by the way, we're using the UltraGrid technology, which is being developed by CESnet, and especially for these purposes, especially for Peter's group, we have actually created a real-time anonymization of the image in a sense that we can overlay certain parts of the image, mask them out. Because we're taking the video feeds live from the instruments, the same feeds are actually used for forensic purposes. So these get stored onto some storage systems, and we just split those signals and take a copy of them into UltraGrid for the real-time transmission. And we don't want to transmit patient's name, patient's day of birth, and so on. So we mask those out in real time.
Yeah.
Using the technology.
And it was quite challenging, I have to say. Yeah.
If I could just add a few notes here about the technology. We've, as you can tell, the audio isn't perfect on this at the moment. I'd like to apologize and explain for the slight crackliness of the audio. This is obviously in a very busy hospital. There's live heart surgery going on right now behind them. So getting the opportunity to do tests with the audio as well was a challenge. And obviously the 4K image is what the priority here. So I just wanted to explain why it's a bit crackly before we went to any questions from the audience.
Well, while I'm just seeing if there's any questions, could I just ask how you see the benefits of this for medical education, for medical students? What does this allow that you to do that you couldn't do before?
Well, it's relatively quite new because we are here in this region. We are the first hospital that use the live transmission for the medical students' education for the pre-graduate courses, because they use it for post-graduate for fresh. So we use it, and it's I have to say it's highly appreciated.
I'm sure. Yes. Do we have any questions in the auditorium here, or is everyone feeling a bit queasy after seeing that? No one's passed out here, so it obviously wasn't too graphic. We really appreciate you taking the time to do this. I think it's incredibly visionary. It's something I've always said. I could see that 4K gives you, particularly in medicine, where I believe, am I right in saying colours are so important in the education, so people can see the real colours and not a television that's got sort of dodgy colours. It's very important. So thank you for joining us. We really appreciate the demonstration, and we hope that we didn't disturb the person who came in too much, and the patient is doing all right behind you.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Could we have
a
round of applause, please?
Us.
Thank you. Yes.
Just a couple of words about the technology using the examples you've seen already. The first example, the dance performance, was using the Sony IP55 boxes, which is designed to convert SDI video feeds into IP. We're very grateful to the two gentlemen from Sony who just sat here, Hiro and Chris, who've lent us the hardware for that and the 4K projector in the middle there. The second demonstration uses something called UltraGrid, which was developed by CESnet, which is the Czechoslovakian equivalent of Janus. They've done this as an open source project. It's a really valuable, really flexible piece of software. You can essentially choose any format, compression, resolution of audio or video, and just choose where to send it and what to receive. So it's been really flexible. When we tested it earlier in his office, the audio was crystal clear, I promise you. It's just now we've moved to the hospital, we changed the situation a little bit. So, but I wanted to tell you a little bit about the technology before we move on to the last example. Thank you.
And of course, nothing changes there. They always used to say that to me. All right, leaving us, Gov. Absolutely. Does anyone here have 4K on their horizon? Are they dealing with it? Is anyone using it? Because I think it's a place we should be. I'm very impressed with some of the kit I've seen from Sony. I'm sure, as the BBC say, there are other manufacturers as well, but Sony have put their head above the parapet here and done the business. I personally feel, for what I know about it, that this takes us way beyond the opportunities you have with standard definition in terms of education and research. Take Durham University, where cosmology, the ones and noughts, are converted into Hollywood quality animations, and the professor does the research from looking at those pictures, not studying the ones and noughts, and actually looks at it, at the visualization is where he does his research. So there are all sorts of areas in the heart of our business where I think 4K is. I think one of the takeaways you may do is go away and go back to your institutions and establishments and say, you know, and whether it's FE or HE, I mean, FE as well, you think of some of the craft skills that are taught in FE, where high definition may well give you that extra quality that you need to teach that standard doesn't give you. So that's one thing, maybe a takeaway from this session. Go back and find out where the opportunities are on your campus for using high definition. And I'm sure Tim would be very keen, if you've got pilots that you want to do, to explore those. Now, I'm coming to the moment now where I wonder whether I regret ever saying yes to this. And I haven't seen it. That shows again how old and carefree I am. But someone said to me, I think it was Tim said to me, he said, do you mind popping in one weekend? We want to do some filming. I said, no, it's fine. I mean, Sunday I'll pop in, take a bit of time off the tractor. And so I turned up at Lumen House and had all sorts of stuff put on my face and all sorts of things. And I thought, well, I've gone too far now to turn back. So I entered into it with full spirit. I have no idea what the end result is, but I think we're going to find out in a few minutes. And if I'm not here to take the last bit to wind up, I'll say thank you to you all now, because I'll have shot out the door and got on the first train. But to introduce it, I'd like to welcome Peter North, who's a lecturer here at the Leeds Institute of Communication Studies, and he's going to tell us a bit about what happened.
I work in Institute of Communication Studies, and we teach cinema photography, broadcast journalism, and we used to do TV production as well. So at the moment, we're using a lot of high definition. 4K and ultra high def is probably on the horizon where we would probably like to go, maybe in a year or so. But the opportunity to actually look at the workflow for ultra HD and 4K was very useful for myself, but also to involve some of our cinema students as well. So our basic brief was to create a sort of 5 to 10 minute sort of corporate video, and using students across not just only the Institute of Communication Studies, but also the music school and the PCI, which you saw the performance earlier. So some of the actors that we had in the film, we had from PCI. The music score that you'll see will also be, that's from some of the music performance students. So it was kind of a collaboration. And obviously using the latest tech from Sony, the Ultra HD 4K camera. Next slide. So we had a 6-person crew made up from our second year cinema students who went down to Didcot for the weekend, did part of the production down there, and then came back up to Leeds a few weeks later, and we did some in our TV studio in the communication studies. So part of it was studio-based, part of it was location. So it was kind of stretching the sort of the technology from the camera point of view, from sort of outside stuff as well as actually in a controlled environment. So some things were done sort of under low light, some things were done under available light. So you will see sort of like the benefits of the technology from that point of view. So this is the camera we used, the FDR-AX1. In our department, we have got lots of sort of different type of cameras. We are at the moment just high def, but 4K, I know from Sony, there's lots of variants of the Sony sort of 4K cameras out there. And this one with the new codec that they're using, I think from a sort of a technology, from an accessibility point of view and from a user point of view, I think this codec will probably go a long way to sort of being user-friendly. Codecs for sort of high def, everybody will probably know there's that many different types out there, and whenever there's a fresh new codec, I think, comes on board, there's always this like, do we have to convert it about six times just to get a file out of there? So there is, we have found sort of learning curves through the production of this, so it was new for us all. We edited on a various sort of platforms. In our department, we teach with Media Composer, run by Avid, which I think at the moment are still a little bit behind sort of from a 4K Ultra HD point of view. So we did have to sort of use Blackmagic DaVinci Resolve, which is a sort of like a conforming tool to conform our projects in, and with a little bit of jiggery pokery in Final Cut Pro as well. So we've used kind of a lot of the platforms that are out there for sort of high-end sort of production use. So that was our workflow. So now we'll hit play and watch the film.
People often ask me what the Janet Network is. Why can't the universities and the researchers just go down the road and buy a connection to Virgin or BT? Well, the very simple reason is that if we did that, you just wouldn't have any research in the United Kingdom. What we need for research and higher education is a high-speed network that's got lots of capacity and low latency. That means that the speed it goes from one point to another, there's very little delay. Now, at the high end of research...
It's on. If there's anyone there, send help. I don't know what, but something has happened.
We were enjoying the start of our 30th birthday celebrations when it happened.
Hi, how are you?
Tim, the CEO of Janet. He was due to give a speech on the rollout of Janet 6, when he was called away for an interview by a film crew covering the launch.
Hi, Tim. Good, thank you.
This is Helen, freelance producer, and add to that, my new best friend.
I'm wondering if it's all right to finish the interview.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
It all started with this random email.
And then
I'll answer that in a minute.
Don't worry. And then if we just pan out to an MID?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, lovely. You ready, Hank?
Yeah, already here, yeah.
Lovely. And in 5, 4...
Luckily for me, it was actually pretty smart not to have a smartphone.
It's really quite remarkable because we've now got a world-class network.
Everybody, run!
What's going on?
Didn't you hear me? I said run!
No!
Wait, where's Tim and Hank?
I thought they were right behind us. Let's go back to them.
We're not going back there. They're getting closer. Quick in here.
Tim!
And that's how it happened. Hello? Oh, there's no answer.
Who are you trying to call?
Manchester. But no response. I wonder if it's spread already.
What even started it?
It was some random email that seemed to cause them to change.
If it's a virus, then it could be anywhere by now.
Oh, I know.
We need to do something quick.
I'll try Leeds.
It's connecting.
How do you do? Steve and IT here.
Oh, Steve, it's Jake at Janet in Didcot. Listen, we need help.
What seems to be the problem?
It's Tim.
Why, what's the matter with him?
He's a zombie.
A zombie.
It's not just him though, it's all the Janet staff. Look, we're trapped in this server room, they're after us. We need help.
How did it start?
It was this random email.
Email, you say? Nothing's coming through on mine. Must be the firewall or spam filters blocking it out. Oh no, hang on a sec. What's this?
Oh no, 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 don't open that.
Oh, okay. I'll send a line round and make sure no one opens their email. What if they already have? Guys, what's your plan?
Well, we haven't got any weapons and we need a cure fast.
Well, any clues? What do you know?
All we know is that we need something to stimulate.
I wonder? Guys, I'm on it. I'm going to use the Janet Network to get in touch with our partners in government and education. We'll come up with a cure. Jake, it's Steve. I think we've done it.
Great, what's the cure?
Well, we think it might work.
What is it?
Right, well, I've been on to the partners in Europe, government agencies, universities.
Yep, yep.
Luckily, with our collaboration.
Yep, mm-hmm.
High levels of super fast research.
Yes!
What is it?
Alright, I'm getting to that.
We'll get to it quicker!
Tea. The national drink? The golden nectar? Cha? Le thé? De thé in German, if you so like. El thé in Espanol, if you so please. Or just a good old cuppa, if you're from up here.
What? Just
tea?
Well, not any old kind of tea.
PG tips.
Twinings.
Thai food.
Lapsang Sochong.
Conference tea. It has to be conference tea.
Conference tea?
Yeah. It's something about the weak, mild flavours. It provides a sufficient blend that counteracts the zombie-like effects.
Conference tea?
Where are we going to get that from?
My secret supply of tea!
Okay, we seem to have the tea. What's next?
Make a cup.
What, that's it?
Yeah. Well, put the tea bag in for only 5 seconds. Oh, and use one of those small UHT pots of milk.
I hope this works. Oh, it barely looks like tea.
Well, that's the whole idea. It's conference tea.
Okay, we're gonna try it.
Without Janet Six and a super fast connection, we would have been all dead too.
I know. A partner's research and connection speed has sure saved the day.
I even hear you can send 4K videos over the internet now.
Wow. I'd like to see that.
Anyway, I better go finish off the interview with Tim. I'll see you later. Hey, Tim, are we all right to finish the interview now? Tim?
Ha 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 ha!
right, Peter, sorry.
These are a couple I couldn't actually show you sort of before. Just a few sort of behind the scenes sort of stills of the film. So I know you all sort of, those who sort of took part in it, I'm sure you had a bit of a laugh sort of getting dressed up as zombies. Jessica from PCI, who's doing sort of like production design, she did a great job on the makeup. I know she sort of like went to town on that, and she got a great deal out of it as well, so hopefully it was impressive. The actual sort of like idea, I know we had to sort of keep it hush-hush sort of to keep the sort of like the suspense there for the zombies, but it was a task, which it always is working with students, especially sort of organising them when they've got deadlines and things like that. So there was a little bit sort of ownership put on the part of the students, but also I took up a little bit of the slack myself as well. But hope you enjoyed it. If there's any sort of questions on any of the production, sort of how it took place, or happy to. All the technology.
I was at the conference dinner last night, and I promised someone we'd be performing in costume today. I'm not sure if they're here. I hope I didn't let them down. It was really great fun to do, and thank you very much to your incredible amount of effort you put in, and all the students as well. It was great fun spending a weekend with them producing this. So we've got something here. We just wanted to say a little note. Thank you very much for all the time and effort you've put in. You've a huge amount, and you put up with us and our feedback and our re-editing tips. So thank you. Really great experience. Thank you very much. Please.
This recording was brought to you by Janet Training as part of NetWorkshop Online. Further information is available on our website at www.ja.net/training.